This is Slash Dot Review for Friday, November 19th, 2004. My name is Andy McCaskey, and this is a 10-minute summary of highlights from recent contributions to Slash Dot. Today's music is from the Blues Persuaders from Cincinnati, Ohio. Let's take a look at the headlines first. You may recall we said it would never end, and it hasn't ended yet. Berkeley researchers are analyzing Florida voting patterns. Imperaptor writes that researchers at UC Berkeley have crunched numbers and determined that between 130,000 and 260,000 excess votes went to Bush in Florida. They've held a conference and posted their findings online. You can find articles on the research from CNET, Wired News, and many other sources. While the research used statistical analysis based on past elections and demographics, how else do you verify that a paperless voting system is working properly? Maybe you should have thought of that before you started. Mass Transit meets the Incredibles. Chuck Starr writes that Salon.com has an article about SkyWeb Express, a futuristic-looking mass transit system similar to the monorail and the evil villain's secret lair in The Incredibles. What's unique about this system is that individual three-passenger cars travel independently between stations, which are located on sidetracks, so cars only need to stop at the final destination. Apparently, the system is relatively cheap to install. It's very cost-efficient per passenger mile and much more flexible than traditional mass transit. The New York Post covered the topic last month. In the section where people ask Slashdot, the question comes up, what's the tech job situation in late 2004? Career Confused asks that, quote, today I came across an ad in the New York Times put out by Microsoft, Micron, Level 3, amongst other companies, that claimed that the H-1B visa quota for FY 2005 has already expired. It claims that the quota expired the first day of FY 2005, which started just about a month back. Okay, on the one hand, we have stories of techies not finding jobs, and on the other hand, we have stories from businesses which claim that their lack of H-1s is killing their business, as well as public advocacy, like that ad in the New York Times. So what is it? Are we in another boom with jobs going a-begging and companies requiring more H-1s to fill them? How come I haven't noticed this in the form of a fatter paycheck, or an Ariane chair, or a foosball table? What have you experienced in your searches for technology-based jobs? Is it still hard to sell your hard-earned skills, or are things beginning to look up? HP is backing Blu-ray disc technology. Neutron P writes that finally HP announced plans to include Blu-ray disc drives across many of its product lines, including select consumer desktop and notebook PCs, personal workstations, and digital entertainment centers. HP will start selling PCs equipped with Blu-ray disc drives in late 2005. An optical disc technology, Blu-ray disc, is poised to replace current DVD technology and become the next standard for personal computing data storage and viewing high-definition movies. More than 70 of the world's leading technology and entertainment companies have committed to the Blu-ray disc format. Recently, Sharp unveiled Blu-ray disc recorder with hard drive DVD, which will be introduced on the Japanese market in December. In the world of science, at least it's possible to think about building your own cyclotron. MindPixel writes that Physics Today is running a story about 10 Koth's 12-inch cyclotron. Here's a quote that says it all. I was sitting in Tom Devlin's modern physics lecture, and he described the principle of the cyclotron. It said it required a lot of RF power. I was, and still am, a ham radio operator, so RF was no problem. It needed a big magnet. I knew what I could find one of those, and the only thing left was how tough could a vacuum system and chamber be. There's more links on Slashdot that explain the rest of the story. Some former employees of AOL are betting on a private peer-to-peer application. Buhat KJ writes that some former AOL staffers have come up with something interesting, namely a peer-to-peer instant messaging groupware tool called Grouper. Sounds a bit like the game plugin suggested by Downhill Battle. Red Hat is launching an online magazine. Loconet writes to Slashdot that today Red Hat published the first issue of their online Red Hat magazine, formerly known as Under the Brim, a newsletter. Each issue includes the editor's blog, Red Hat Speaks, which is interviews with Red Hat personalities, From the Inside, which includes news, white papers, and events, Ask Shadowman, Tips and Tricks, Fedora Status Report, and Contest. This issue features a detailed article on Fedora Core 3. you'd like to comment on a Slashdot item and suggest a Creative Commons artist or band to feature for listeners, just make a phone call to 732-357-3682 or a network-based SIP call to 747-667-3306. Or you can leave a written comment at slashdotreview.com. There's a book review that features the complete guide to pivot tables. R3 Lodi, Raymond Lodato, writes that, quote, like most people, I've only scratched the surface, or maybe gouged it a little bit, of the capabilities of the Microsoft Office products. There are more features buried in them than most users will ever discover. He uses Microsoft Excel frequently in his job to analyze all sorts of data. When they came out with pivot tables, I dabbled a little bit and found several uses for them, but documentation being what it is, I never really got to understand and utilize pivot tables' full capabilities. Now, APress has published a complete guide to pivot tables, a visual approach by Paul Cornell. You can read on for the rest of Lodato's review on Slashdot. James Cameron is going to guest edit at Wired Magazine. Colonist writes that Terminator and Titanic director James Cameron is the guest editor of the December issue of Wired Magazine. This special issue of Wired is about honest-to-God two-fisted hairy-knuckle exploration. Cameron worked for nearly a year on this issue, developing stories in the future of exploration in the oceans, on Earth, and in space. Contributors include Buzz Aldrin, Sean O'Keefe, Burt Rutan, Robert Ballard, Sylvia Earle, and Kim Stanley Robinson. Apart from making blockbuster films, Cameron explores the depths of the oceans and is a member of the NASA Advisory Council and the Mars Society. The Kyoto Treaty is about to enter into force. Geek42 writes that it looks like Russia has picked up where the U.S. failed, and now it's going to be law on February 16th. The BBC has coverage. Industrialized countries will have until 2012 to cut their collective emissions of six key greenhouse gases to 5.2% below the level of 1990. Public interest groups are facing an uphill battle at the World Intellectual Property Organization meeting. Patrick Norger writes that as WIPO creates new rights for broadcasters, documents critical of these rights created by EFF and IP Justice were stolen and recovered in a bathroom trash can. EFF has a general statement on the meeting with links for more information. Ant writes in that a Yahoo News story mentions Fuji, a mother dolphin that lost 75% of her tail due to a mysterious disease, but she's able to jump again with the help of what's believed to be the world's first artificial fin. The 34-year-old dolphin, held at Japan's largest aquarium in the southern island of Okinawa, wears the rubber fin for about 20 minutes a day, allowing her to jump and swim with the same speed as other dolphins. Well, I have no fear. Transgaming will support Half-Life 2 under Linux. R.P. Dillon writes in that according to Half-Life Fallout, Transgaming Technologies has announced that they will be releasing version 4.2 of Sudega, their wine-based software which allows some DirectX games to be played under Linux. The new version will be released December 7th with official support included for Valve Software's Half-Life 2 and Steam, which is Valve's online software store and distribution system and a required component of Half-Life 2. It's hard to believe, but Neutron P has written in that 35 years ago this week, the sedentary, fine-grained powder began to rise, billow, and race off towards the horizon, and soon after, at 1:54:35 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, November 19, 1969, the lunar module Intrepid landing, bringing two more humans to the surface of another world. Apollo 12 Commander Pete Conrad and lunar module pilot Alan Bean would be on the moon for more than 31 hours, with crewmate Dick Gordon orbiting above in the command module Yankee Clipper. Apollo 12 at 35. The U.S. Congress is poised to vote on an Internet tax ban. Jenga Bongo writes to Slashdot that after more than a year of leaving the threat of new state and city levy taxes looming over Internet access providers and online merchants, Congress is finally poised to reimpose a moratorium on taxing Internet access. The House had approved a permanent moratorium while the Senate had approved a temporary ban. Members of the House are pushing to compromise and vote today on the Senate's approach, and President Bush is expected to sign the legislation when it's passed. Thanks for listening to Slashdot Review for Friday, November 19th. My name's Andy McCaskey, and I have no affiliation with Slashdot other than as a regular reader, and offer this material and other items of interest under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. Slashdot Review Audio is published Monday through Friday, and occasionally on Sunday, but not on Saturday, so we'll take a break and wrap up the weekend Sunday evening. Today's featured album tracks from the GarageBand.com artist Blues Persuaders, Cincinnati, Ohio. Ocean Full of Tears features Becca Williams on vocals. More music from this artist can be found at GarageBand.com by following the links on Slashdot Review. Have a good weekend.